All right, hello, welcome to a special B-side edition of the At You Two podcast. I am joined by my two guinea pigs, Tasula and Sherry. Welcome to the podcast, ladies.
Thank you. It's the only time I've ever allowed a man to call me a pig in public, so thank you.
I've put them, every time I try out something new for recording the podcast, it seems to end up being Sherry and Tasula that are the ones who are on, so...
We are the hidden gems of At You Two, just like Red Hill Mining Town is the hidden gem on
Bingo.
On Joshua Tree. What can we say?
So we're testing out the good stuff. We over on goodstuff.fm, the podcast site I run, we redesigned a bunch of stuff, and we're also using some streaming, different streaming stuff, so we're actually doing video as a test. So goodstuff.fm/live, so we can see the calendar of when we record and all that kind of stuff, but... We'll hopefully everything will work out. We've got little boxes of little Sherry in a box, Tasula in a box, and Chris in a box, and then a big U2 picture. And hopefully this all works out okay in the end. So we gathered together to discuss the Red Hill Mining Town remix. It's not a remix. It's a mix, I guess. A new mix. It's not a remix, really, right? Remix is if it like changes structure. I don't know how what the terminology
right,
is.
Right, and it's the same. Song. It's a new remix as if it's the same vocals, I think. And this is new vocals, right?
Right. So re-recorded, Bono re-recorded the whole thing. Do we know?
Yeah, it sounds like he re-recorded it.
So are you two fans okay with that? Is that like treading on sacred ground to re-record old songs like this? Are we?
If it enables him to sing it live, yes.
And as long as they don't take the 1987 Joshua Tree, remove the 1987 Red Hill Mining Town and insert the 2017, then I'm fine with it.
I agree.
So like reach into everybody's podcast player or MP3 players.
reach into our iTunes, pull stuff out.
Yeah.
Right. Update.
We're like going to extract 87's version.
That would be funny.
SNL should do a version of that, I guess. Let's get of that. But remixed or I keep saying remixed, but what's the right word? Steve Lillywhite, anyways, helped reimagine. Sure, that works. A version of it. So it's being released for Record Store Day on. I noticed there's a spelling mistake on U2.com on April 22nd for Record Store Day. So there's a 12-inch version featuring a couple of Anton's photos, and so I guess first of all, are either of you record collectors enough that like even if it wasn't a U2 thing, you would be doing record stuff, or is it you just do U2 records?
I have never missed a Record Store Day.
So regardless
in the history of Record Store Day.
All right.
Whether U2 participates or not.
And I only do it if there's a U2 release.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever bought a record, actually, now that I think about it, going back.
Even when you were a kid?
Well, I mean, my parents had records, but I just listened to their Boney M. Christmas albums and... etc. So we don't need to go into my parents' record collection history.
But I mean, when you started buying music, were you buying cassettes then? I mean, we're the same age. So.
No, tapes is where I started. I didn't really have any records that I bought. So if that dates.
See, in our family, we began with the 8-tracks.
We did too.
And then, I had and those.
Moved on.
I didn't buy. So do you have, is there a U2 8-track?
There actually are.
If you go
over to U2songs.com, Aaron's got some of that information up on his site.
Yeah. So along with the single remix or whatever that's coming, we also heard and have seen now, and if this all plays along nicely, the viewers at home will get to watch the video of sort of the making of. We'll just let it play here for a second.
Father to son, blood runs thin. See faces frozen still against the wind. Stone.
Oh, that sweet reverb.
Right.
So it's
that mid-tempo malaise.
Which we can cover in a second, show you the reasons why it wasn't released ever as a single, but the version that we obviously get to hear a bit of a tease of the new version, the new mix of it, and definitely it's got a lot more punch to it than the original did. I feel like even with my computer speakers now listening to it on the headphones for the first time, and as Steve Lillywhite corrected me on Twitter that Edge's guitar stuff wasn't actually in the chorus as I thought it was, and it sounds like in the pre-chorus his guitar is down a little bit in the mix, but and the horns seem to come up a little more. I was listening to it again, listening to the original version a bunch, but my kids were also screaming in the background, so I wasn't listening too carefully to it. The horns are there in the original, but just definitely not as punchy in it, right?
Oh, they're buried way in the back of the track.
Yeah. So what do you guys think of what you heard in the mix, the 2017 mix so far?
I love it. I've already started some good fights on Twitter about it because people are like, you have to hear the whole song to decide whether. I'm like, no, I don't actually. The arrangement is already there. Like, I can hear that he's going to hit the note and I don't need to hear it all. I like it better. Deal with it.
Sherry, any fights on Twitter with you?
Well, no, I try not to get into too many fights. But what I hear is a singer who's got 30 additional years of professional singing experience taking a crack at a song that he felt didn't sound the way that he wanted it to sound in 1986 when the song was first recorded. So I can hear the maturity in it. It's kind of neat, you know, the innocence and experience type of thing, going with the innocence of the version from the Joshua Tree in 87 and this newer version, which, I mean, albeit we've only heard, what, a minute and two of it so far.
A minute 14, thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Counting the fade in, fade out, yeah.
But
it's like half the song.
Yeah, well, pretty much. So, you know, I can hear the recording tricks, you know, with that reverb. You know, the recording equipment was different in the 80s than it is today. So it's really modernized a track that the band weren't too happy with. So if the band's happy with it, then I'm happy with it.
I will say I expected to dislike it, which may be part of the reason why I'm so pleasantly surprised. I was afraid when I heard that the brass was going to get amped up, that it was going to be kind of Phil Spectorized. So Beatle fans will know, like, Let It Be was ruined by Phil Spector overproducing it. And so 25 years later, we got Let It Be Naked, which is far superior, and the purists love it. So I was afraid that was actually going to happen, not to accuse Lillywhite of being an overproducer, because he's not at all. But, you know, we didn't know. And now that I hear that it's just great and it has that maturity, that voice maturity that Sherry just mentioned, I could not be happier.
Well, the point about it being overly produced, Larry said in YouTube by U2 that the original version he felt was overproduced. So maybe they just got the production balance right on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me excited to hear the other mixes that are going to be on this best or the 30th anniversary set. Like, and YouTube War 40 in the chat room said, what I like about this mix and the other possible mixes is that the original producers of the Joshua Tree get to revisit specific tracks. It's not some other producer or a dance remix and that kind of stuff, which changes it. And I think this was a perfect, I wasn't too excited about Red Hill Mine Town as the song they were going to hear or whatever, because it just felt like it was never my favorite song on the album. And the obvious choice would have been like, here's the new Streets, or here's the new I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, or whatever. And but in hindsight now, I'm glad, having heard it, I'm really glad they picked this one, because it does kind of just, like you said, revitalizes the track and makes me excited to hear the rest of it and the rest of the other mixes that they're going to release as part of this. So,
but the question is, if they did a box set to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Joshua Tree, why didn't they just redo it then? Is it strictly because we know Bono has to sing it that they chose this particular track?
What were they doing 10 years ago? What were they working on 10 years ago?
I think 10 years ago, you can think about that, and I'll posit my theory. I think 10 years ago, they weren't ready to revisit stuff in that way. They weren't ready to look back so much. I mean, they were okay with it because they started doing some of those greatest hits, like the decade releases or whatever. So they would have revisited the tracks to a certain degree. But Yeah, I think they now with their either maturity or old life crisis or whatever you want to call it, and their willingness to more look back and celebrate the past, then they're you know able to put the resources and the time or whatever into remixing something that something like this. So
I think you're right, and if my memory serves me correctly, in 2007 they weren't doing much of anything. So
that they were done saving
with
the world.
Dismantle. They were done with the Vertigo tour. Yeah. And not yet there with No Line. So you're probably right.
Right. Yeah. Cause that's what they kind of have, whether they've justified it in their mind and they've justified it to the fans or whatever, as to why this isn't just a victory lap or, you know, the kind of things that they talked against in the earlier days of the band and stuff, against doing, a nostalgia tour or that kind of stuff. They've justified it for themselves, and I feel like they've just, in the conversations they've had with like Andy Green, Rolling Stone and stuff, they've justified it, I think, to the fans as well as to why it's not just a money grab victory tour, even if the record label is more than happy to facilitate, or the touring company is more than happy to facilitate it all. So,
well, the question is going to be, are they going to be bringing on stage the brass orchestra or brass band? Ooh. Or is that going to be part of Terry World?
Yeah, I wonder. I think my hunch would be that it's going to be just Terry World stuff where they'll just it with synths or loops or something. And just because to bring a brass band on tour, never mind the logistics, it just adds an extra group of people you have to bring on stage and accommodate on the stage and all that kind of stuff. So,
and what else would they use? I mean, if they did theoretically have them, what else would they use them for?
They'd almost have to pull out some Love Town stuff.
Like Red Light, or although I would love if they played Red Light, we know. They could open with that. That's right. Earlier than Joshua Tree. If they're not going to open with Streets, which I'm afraid they probably aren't, but we'll see.
That's we'll continue to have the song list, set list discussion, I guess, until Vancouver, which is in how many days? Anybody got there?
51.
51. Sherry,
we are recording this on March 22nd, so it's 51.
All right.
That seems so close.
So we'll look forward to, hopefully, if you're out there and you've got your ticket for Joshua Tree, you're looking forward to it. We are definitely, obviously, and we're looking forward to meeting in Vancouver, whoever happens to be out there, and we'll have more about that in the weeks ahead. And any closing comments on Red Hill Mining Town before we shut down this quick, air quotes, quick B-side?
I'm just kind of surprised we all seem to agree on it. I think
that's
all
good.
Agree on it.
Yeah. Is there a lot of, like, I know you said you had some disagreements on Twitter.
Well, people like to pick fights with me. So, and I, to be fair, I did say send the hate mail. I was being sarcastic, but some people don't get that tone, I guess. But I mean, there were just as many positive responses as there were negative. And then most people, I would say the majority just said, I have to hear the whole thing, which is fine. I don't, but you do you, you know?
Sherry, how about you?
I just wanted it in a key that Bono could sing it in. So if this was the way that they were going to do it, then so be it.
Did they actually change the key? Yeah. I forgot to compare.
Sounds like it. Yeah. It sounds like it.
I'm sure some music snob is out there, or not snob. Nice music person is listening and shouting at their podcast player.
We can ask our other Chris for confirmation. I'm sure he has already listened many times.
Yeah.
We can put it in the show notes, Chris.
Okay. The key change or not. Mystery. All right. Well, thank you for listening for this episode of the At YouTube Podcast. Of course, you can find it at goodstuff.fm/ATU2. At U2.com is where the website's facebook.com/ATU2com. I'm doing this all by memory.
Yes.
Twitter.com/ATU2. Yes. And Sherry, where can folks argue with you on Twitter?
As always, at U2com, Sherry.
And Tasula.
At Tasula.
And I'm at Matt McGee on Twitter. Thank you for listening. We'll see you again next time. Bye.